You're listening to Munch, a podcast and website where we pair meals with movies. I'm Ben.
I'm Andre.
I'm Leanna.
And this week, we are here talking about Andre's birthday Super Munch post, Moana. And we actually have some guest podcasters with us. Abby, do you want to give a brief introduction to your about yourself, who you are?
Hi, I'm Abby.
I thought about cutting you off there and like having that be a humorous moment, but I'll actually let you continue.
Yeah. Tell us I'm more. Here for Andre's super munched birthday post. Did I get it right?
Yeah, very close.
Birthday super
very
munch.
Close.
Birthday super munch. Uh-huh. It's good to be here. It's good to taste the fruits of this blog's labor.
And then next up we have Signe.
Hey everyone. I am just honored to be here. I've always wanted to see what it's like behind the scenes.
Did it live up to your expectations?
It's been great. It's a lot sassier than I imagined it would have been.
Munch, we never cut back on sass.
I've learned.
Munch, we know sass.
The Sassafras of podcasts.
Ooh, yeah.
One of those will stick.
That wasn't bad. I'm kind of happy with that.
Yeah.
All right, they're going to join us about for some Moana conversation. So they'll hop in a little bit later, but we'll quickly get to food. So for food, we spent a little bit of time thinking like, hey, maybe we should go down the Polynesian food route. But because none of us have that connection or that understanding, we decided to not ultimately go that way. But luckily for us, Moana, it's the name Moana means ocean, which presented a perfect opportunity for us to do a meal kind of like devoted to the ocean, from the ocean, and using the bountiful fruits of the ocean's labor, I guess.
Yeah.
Sustainably as well.
Yes. That was also like another very important part. So we kind of looked at Monterey Bay Aquarium's Seafood Watch, which is a really good resource. You can look it up by location, what fish are okay to get, how it's supposed to be caught, things like that.
We can include a link in our blog post.
Yes.
Which you can find at getmunchedup.com.
great call out.
Throwing in those wherever we can.
But seriously, you should definitely read it.
Yeah.
It's real good. It's real good.
We spent the appetizer?
All the above.
Oh, yeah. But you know what was really good was the appetizer, which you can see photos of at getmunchedup.com. but the appetizer was a pretty simple salad inspired by Pock Pock. And we used it...
Pock Pock is a restaurant in Portland.
Yes, a Thai restaurant.
A Thai restaurant, yeah. Yes.
But we found a fish sauce salad dressing.
Yeah, from Momofuku.
Yeah.
And yeah, that was basically fish sauce, sugar, rice wine vinegar, and some red hot chili peppers.
Thai chilies.
Yeah.
Andre refuses to call them Thai chilies, though, so...
Bird's eye chilies? Is that what?
It was bird's eye chilies.
That's an interesting...
Yeah, the fish sauce was really tasty. We put it over...
Great.
And we chose it specifically for the fish sauce component of that.
Yes.
Just to say, like, hey, the products that come from the sea can be, like, a lot of different flavor profiles, and you can get very good umami flavors in there and things like that.
Yeah.
It was
not
fantastic.
Not necessarily the Thai connections, because those don't have any connection to this movie.
Yeah. It was very good.
It was really
Everyone
good.
Everyone loved the sauce.
I would love to, like...
I could just drink the sauce by itself.
That sauce is really good.
It is really
It would be
good.
A great broth for a soup. It
or was just or you do some, like, quick pork cutlets on top of rice, and then pour the sauce over that.
That would be very good.
Oh, yeah.
Good thing we have leftovers.
That sauce was really good.
And you the other very important part of the salad is that there's a fried egg on top.
Yes, which was
super
also
important.
Very nice.
Yeah, tasty. Also
good.
Not part of the ocean, but there was a chicken in the movie. We'll talk about the movie later. But
that's
yeah,
true,
there was
though. That's a good call out. It's an egg from Hey Hey.
Yeah. live creative
Yeah.
Thought process, but hey, you're gonna see our talk on the podcast be reflected in the posts.
Yeah, sometimes with the recipes, actually. We're just like, we'll figure it out in post. We'll just put something and then tie it back to the movie after we watch it.
Nice.
There's a lot of times
there
are movies
one.
We haven't seen, like Moana, we hadn't seen before, but
none of us. Yeah.
Yeah.
Then for the entree, as we previously mentioned, we look at the seafood watch, and because tuna specifically, or a lot of tuna is sourced from around American Samoa or the Solomon Islands, which are part of the Polynesia belt and series of islands there. We wanted to get that tuna influence in. But looking at the seafood watch, there was kind of two options essentially that were available to us, and that were on like the absolute best, like, hey, can't go wrong with these. And that was skipjack and albacore. And unfortunately, we weren't able to find those. But there were the good portion. And so we ultimately went with an ahi tuna, which is also known as yellowfin. And it was specifically pole and line caught, which is like one of the most sustainable ways to do it, and also one of the hardest ways, ultimately making it a little more expensive. Mm-hmm. But it is a very sustainable way to catch that fish. So that it is not overfished, a common problem.
Yeah, well, you're catching one fish on a line instead of throwing a net down and pulling up everything.
Yeah, more just, but like, guys, in a very manufactured way.
We should watch.
Sure.
We should watch The Perfect Storm.
Okay.
Is there like a better reason? Like, I've never seen The Perfect Storm.
I've never wanted to see The Perfect Storm.
Have you seen The Perfect Storm, Lena? Yeah.
I love to
Is it
say
good?
It's the I've perfect seen storm. It more than once.
What?
Is it perfect?
Why?
I think...
Is it good enough to see more than
okay,
once?
Okay, the first time I saw it was because my dad is really into boating movies. And so my mom and I like watching and going to movies. And so it was easy for us to convince him that we should go if it was boat related. And so I think that's why we saw it the first time.
Okay. Mm.
The second time I think I saw it was just because I thought the storm in it was really cool. And I have this I have this obsession with large waves and tsunamis. That I don't know.
Really?
Like, yeah, which is weird because
this is a whole new thing.
No, I definitely have a deep fear of the water, because whenever my dad tried to take me sailing, I would cry.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah. But
is there like a traumatic experience with water earlier in your
life? No. Oh, okay. No, definitely not. I mean, we grew up boating, like jet skis, like going out in the San Juans. I have very fond memories of doing all that. Mm-hmm. I just, for some reason, if we were sailing, I think it was a lack of power, you know, there was no motor on that boat, maybe. I honestly don't know what it is.
You're kind of at nature's whim,
something like that. And so The Perfect Storm had really big waves and it was cool,
and that those people had no power,
and that's why we should watch it for munch.
That's why you're into
that'll be my birthday super munch. Who knows? Okay. No, I'm just kidding.
We're kind of going off the deep end on these birthday super munches.
Saw what you did there. I saw what you did there.
Yeah. Okay. It was low hanging fruit. I'll be honest.
Anyway.
Yeah, so we took that ahi tuna, did a quick grill, because hey, it was actually nice here in Seattle.
Yeah.
Threw that on top of some fennel and leeks. And overall, I thought it was a decent dish. I wasn't blown away by it. I think
there's nothing on the fish. It was pretty boring. I mean, we should have done something with the fish more than salt and pepper.
Maybe a better like crust of salt and pepper or some other kind of crust on it.
Yeah.
But I also think that the fennel and leeks didn't do much either. There wasn't a depth of flavor there that I was like, oh, this is really great.
No, it didn't call for a whole lot of spices or
very
seasonings.
Simple dish.
It was very simple. And it's not that it was bad. It just was a little bland.
Yeah.
And
maybe if the fish was a little rawer, like I could see it being like you do thinner cuts and then just do the grill and have it almost raw.
I think that would have worked better if it also had some sort of crusting of, I don't know.
Just something.
Something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
Dessert?
Dessert. Oh. Dessert's an interesting one. So I feel really happy with this meal because we kind of pushed ourselves outside of our normal boundaries, got a little uncomfortable, and I think it may show a little bit in a positive light in this post. But we were like, all right, what else came from the sea? Seaweed. We have to do something with seaweed. What are our options here? So we definitely dove deep into the seaweed pool. portion.
Especially for a dessert, because it's difficult to incorporate the sea into dessert. Because typically when you think of seafood, it's salty, it's got a savory flavor to it.
Right.
It doesn't fit well with sugar and cream and all the things you think of when you think of dessert.
I can't think of a single... like, to your point, I can't think of a single dessert that uses stuff directly from the sea. But we were able to find something. So using Irish moss, which is essentially collected from the sea, this specific one was collected from the Philippines. And Irish moss in a lot of seaweed actually has kind of a thickening agent similar to gelatin and things like that, but comes directly from the sea. So it's technically a more vegan option. And so we made sure to clean the heck out of that Irish moss, because it does kind of have a slightly pungent smell, even if it says it's virtually
virtually scentless and tasteless.
Yeah,
but then you open up the package and it's like,
and just, whole I don't kitchen know about you, but smelled I like the smell ocean.
It. Yeah, get a good whiff of that.
Yeah,
which
I was a little worried when we opened the package and I smelled it.
I wonder if you didn't smell it and how the dessert would have been, because you smell it, you have that distinct smell. And
I didn't really notice it when I ate the dessert.
Okay.
Yeah.
There's just a, for me, there's like a subtle.
I noticed it with the first bite, but after that, I didn't notice it.
Okay.
Yeah.
So what we did was we using the thickening agents of seaweed, we threw 4 cups of milk with that. Essentially, boiled it for 30 minutes, then put in a little. Lemon sugar, and then basically just threw it in the refrigerator, and that was it.
And
it
vanilla.
Vanilla as well, and that was it. And it was incredibly simple. You could probably do some really interesting savory stuff for that, and I might actually keep that in my back pocket for something else we do later. But
Go for it.
I was kind of like impressed by it. It was so simple, but like ultimately it was a really nice custard consistency. Not too sweet, pretty tasty, ultimately.
And it was, the recipe was basic enough that you could easily customize it with some sort of topping. Like, Ben, you brought up maybe doing a caramel sauce or a passion fruit. And it something creates a really solid base that you could build on top of.
Because there wasn't a whole lot going on with that one either. Like, it was definitely a base. You needed something else to it. And we put kumquats in it, which were kind of
interesting. Oh, yeah, the kumquats were very good.
Had that tartness. That was kind of nice.
I think we looked at some recipe that recommended blueberries. I think that would have been good, too.
Blueberries would have been good.
Yeah.
Maybe adding more of, like, a tea flavor, something like Earl Grey or something like that might be nice. But overall, that was very impressive.
It reminded me a lot of... I used to watch a lot of Iron Chef with my mom. Mm. And the original one, not with Alton Brown, but with... Like, the whole thing was in subtitles.
Yeah.
And it reminded me a lot of that because often they would give them some savory ingredient, like a fish or seaweed or something. And they'd have to do the whole, you know, 3-course meal that had dessert as well. And so I was really impressed with us being able to take something like Irish moss, which you would not think of as something you could put in a sugary, sweet dessert, and being able to pull it off.
Yeah. Like, I feel like it almost builds up my kitchen knowledge a little bit
definitely
more. Like, all right, here's something completely new that I've never dealt with before, and that was really interesting. So finally, for the drink, who wants to talk about the drink?
I guess I can. I mixed it together. We did, it was, what was it called? Gin to Marin?
Yes.
It was a pretty classic boat drink with a bit of a twist. it was
just that gin. Classic BD.
Yeah, pretty good BD. Gin, pear juice, muddled pear, muddled seaweed, nori. What else is in there? A little simple syrup.
Yeah. Lemon juice.
And we made a special seaweed ice cube where we froze some seaweed in an ice cube.
Yeah.
And put a... you made the salt rim for it, Ben.
Yeah, but it was a umami powder with salt meant to kind of mimic sand on a beach.
It looked very realistic.
Yeah, and it adds just like a little bit of an umami flavor. I probably put too much on because I wanted a just like a hint of it, but not... an overwhelming amount of it, because I wanted ultimately the flavors in the cocktail itself to come through, which is that pear and that just subtle hint of seaweed and nori, which just kind of adds like a nice smokiness with like a little bit of savory to it.
And yeah, it was salty. Very good.
We were all surprised by it. We weren't it went expecting down much.
Yeah.
But it was very good. I didn't taste the alcohol, oddly enough. I don't remember tasting it, at least.
No, the gin definitely was hidden by a combination of the lemon juice, the simple syrup,
Maybe that's the pear?
The pear. And the...
Well, it was... The ratio of gin to other stuff was pretty low in that drink.
Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah.
So it wasn't a heavy drink.
No, which it's is just fine. Like easy boat drinking.
Which is fine, because the drinking rules for this movie were pretty intense.
Right. The exact opposite of that drink.
Yeah. Well, you would need a wheat drink like that to make it through this movie, given how much we expected ourselves to drink.
Yeah.
Yeah. What do we have? We had drink whenever a new song starts, which comes hard and fast in the beginning, and then
and at the
don't
end.
Worry about, and the end, but in the middle... There's a dry spell.
You got a good break.
Yeah. There's a dry spell from songs, but everything else picks up. Because our other rules were to drink every time one of Maui's tattoos animates.
That happens a bunch.
Very often.
I'll be honest, I didn't completely always... I didn't always drink for that, just because it didn't always like, oh, I got a drink for this. It wasn't a quick recognizable, because sometimes it's a very subtle, just like...
I drank every time a new animation started, because sometimes it would, like, the same guy would be moving across his tattoos from scene to scene, and so I counted that as one, which I think was necessary, because our other rule was to drink every time a wave crashes.
Yeah.
And that happens a lot, and granted, we were easy on ourselves. If it was a small crash, we took a small sip. If it was a tidal wave, we took a pretty big...
And we were kind of loose with it, like loose with our definition of crash, or it's if you know that a crash is going to happen but don't necessarily see it, you may take a sip. And that one, like, there's a couple moments where you see like 5 or 6 waves crashing at the same time.
Some of them were double, triple overhead, you might say, referencing Blue Crash.
Yes.
And the things we learned. I think Andre was our expert.
Yeah.
Yes. Dr. Waves.
How would you rate the waves?
In this movie?
Yeah.
I'd say they were killer. Killer waves.
Killer's good. Killer's real good.
Yes. Killer's top of the scale.
That water tech.
That water tech.
We'll get back to that.
No, well, let's get into it, actually.
Yeah.
Let's talk about Moana.
Moana?
Moana.
Moana, sorry.
Moana.
I'm gonna blame that on... being born in Kansas.
I'm going to blame that on Leanna.
Or you could just...
It's Leanna's cousin, Moana.
Or you could just blame it on the boat drinks.
Blame it on the boat...
Is that a...
Blame it on the boat...
Is that a song?
Well, it's like blame it on the...
No, I know. But I was asking if the song Blame It on the Boat Drinks was a Jimmy Buffett song.
It's a Jimmy Buffett original.
Blame it on the boat drinks. Blame the stuttering on the boat drinks.
Andre knows this song so much better than any of us.
Andre is a true parrot head.
Yeah, I guess so. I'm a boat drinks head tonight.
Did we ever, like, definitively find out if it is parrot heads?
We probably should before we definitively say it.
Or to our podcast audience, is the fans of Jimmy Buffett known as parrot heads? I had to think about that one for a little bit. Like, how to phrase that.
If not, I kind of like just calling them.
Like, let
yeah. Endless. We're dubbing them that.
There's...
What are deadheads?
The Grateful
Dead. Dead.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, like, that makes sense because the name...
Beyonce's Army? Is that it? No?
Beehive.
Beehive, yep, that's correct.
Well, those make sense because the name of the artist is in it, though. But... The parrot crew? What are they called?
Yeah, that looks like a little bit... Like, where does that come from?
Well, because
Abby seems most...
Yeah, you brought it up.
Because he's, like, living that island life, right?
That's where he wants to be.
Yeah. Right.
Okay.
Eating a cheeseburger in paradise.
Right.
A cheeseburger? Really?
Yeah.
That's also...
That's, like, not tropical at all.
Why a parrot? Parrots
so
are synonymous...
So many questions.
Why a parrot?
That parrots... have nothing to do with Moana.
Okay. All right. Let's get back on course. We're wayfinding ourselves back to the movie.
Yeah.
A movie about wayfinding. How about that for a second?
That was a great transition, Ben.
Some
well
Moana Disney movie with some Lin-Manuel Miranda.
Heavily.
What? I would say not enough.
Oh, okay.
It's
a little bit. Yeah.
The whole movie for me was waiting for another Lin-Manuel Miranda song, and the middle hour had none. The middle hour was like, are we a musical? We lost our way. We're not actually a musical.
They're fighting their way back.
Which I feel like that's just larger issues for the film itself.
Yeah. That there wasn't enough Lin-Manuel.
Yeah. So should we just like go around the room, give everyone a chance to like say a minute long just thoughts on the film? Abby, do you want to start?
Sure.
I had to think about that.
I mean, if you're not ready, if you are not ready.
I think I can be ready. I was generally disappointed.
Okay.
Mostly because Disney movies are my favorite. Mm-hmm. And I didn't get the normal, warm, fuzzy Disney feelings. It was kind of a dark Disney film. The fire monster was a little too scary.
The Cave of Monsters
The Realm of Monsters I actually liked.
That was it. But there were some scary monsters.
There were.
And I felt like the Cave of Monsters had some similarities to that, like, Dumbo trance sequence.
It also...
neon-y...
Okay, I'm sorry. We interrupted Abby, but, yes, like, sorry. Remind me later to tell you a story about Dumbo.
Oh, would love to hear it.
It's good. Remind me. Okay.
Abby, sorry.
I also agree there was one good musical number. Mm-hmm. And the rest... One?
How's it go again? I missed that.
Okay, great. That one.
That's my piece. Also, I don't know if I loved her as a strong female lead. If they're going that way.
Oh, please.
Why do you say that? I would love to hear that.
She's supposed to be. Well, it's because she was a teenager, but she was a little bit annoying, as teens are.
Teens are the worst.
Yeah. You got really upset at the
oh my
teen,
gosh.
Like the teen like fit that
the
she
teen
drew.
Angst.
She did that a lot.
And that's those
And like maybe that.
I think they're just trying to relate to their audience with that.
But I figured the audience runs a little younger than.
Or older.
Yeah, but younger kids want to act like that and like.
Interesting.
No,
but they want to throw cool fits.
They
want to
throw
weather.
Cool tantrums at the ocean.
cool heavy quotation marks. Okay.
Do you think maybe for parents that part is actually entertaining because they think it's funny that like they
that
could picture
funny.
A kid like fighting with the ocean and they would find that entertaining as a parent?
I don't know.
Maybe.
No.
I'm stretching it.
No. I feel like it's more like just Disney's idea of comedy is like not on the mark.
All right, Sig.
Yeah, that's Abby. Thank you. Great thoughts.
Great thoughts. We'll come back to a lot of those.
I love your rendition of the hit song from Moana.
Of the hit song, na 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 na.
We'll come back to the second verse later.
It right, sounds a lot like the first one.
Let's see. I don't know. I kind of enjoyed it. I think overall it was like. There were many moments that were pretty weak and stupid, but I really enjoyed I like the theme of, like, the earth being, like, you take the heart away from the earth and it starts to fall apart, and I think a lot of people, like, everyone else in the town didn't care about that, like, they didn't think about what it meant to take the heart from the earth, and then how she was able to save Mother Earth.
Wow.
I thought it was cute.
Kind of like an environmental twist on it. Yeah.
Yeah, I think it has like
I didn't really expect that from the movie, but yeah.
Exactly.
I feel like every Disney movie kind of has a point. Yeah. And maybe that was part of the point for this one.
Or maybe
they have two or three, but I think that was part of it.
Yeah. And a way to like portray that to a young audience.
Yeah.
Maybe it's just having watched Studio Ghibli films though. It just never felt like they fully got that environmental message. Like, you watch Princess Mononoke or other films like that, and they really hit on that, like, environmental message and, like, go all the way on it. And so this film never fully got to that.
Yeah.
It, like,
you can see that.
It referenced it, but never was like, yeah, this is this is why, like, hey, you're saving the sea and the earth. This is why you should care about.
There's not, like, a takeaway, like, message or change. Like,
yeah.
Zootopia had a really strong message you were supposed to take away
from
it.
That's debatable. I think we can talk on that.
I think it was pretty clear.
What bothered me about the way they did it in Moana. Okay, we're not talking about Zootopia. Okay.
We can talk about Zootopia.
What bothered me about the way they handled the environmental message was that they handled it when it was too late, which agreed, it feels like you could draw a parallel to today, that people are starting to freak out. Mm-hmm. Certain people are starting to freak out now. Not everyone, unfortunately, but some people are freaking out because it's too late and they're starting to see the effects, and so they want to do better. But I think to really hit the message home, like you were talking about, there could have been more in the early parts where they're establishing the village to show how much they care about the earth and the way they take from the earth and give back to the earth.
They had that whole song that's like, we live on this island gives to us, we love this island. And then the island started falling apart and they were like losing their ability to fish. I think it wasn't, it could have been addressed better.
Again, the whole middle part
let that go.
Yeah.
And I think it would have been, if they would have like pulled aspects of that in throughout, it would have been better. But
yeah.
It didn't need to be, I mean, we've said this about every movie we've watched over 90 minutes, but it didn't need to be a 2-hour movie.
Did not need
If they dropped half an hour of that middle hour, I think it would have been tighter and would have done a better job in getting that.
The entire Shy Guy bit.
Was unnecessary.
I can't, like, I'm sitting here trying to remember.
And by Shy Guys, you mean coconuts also.
Yeah, whatever.
I had no idea what you were talking about.
The pirates.
Yeah.
Or
pirates.
Other people have seen the film. Like that.
Oh, yeah, that's right. They were the pirates, weren't they?
Yes, they were the pirates. And that was such a weird.
Yeah, that was right.
Most of the time, they were on the water when it was just Moana and Maui.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It was like an hour of them traveling around. And it's like, okay, I'm over it. I'm done with it.
Ben. Well, it's good to hear that you liked it, Signe. Ultimately.
Yeah. I liked it. It
with
was stupid. It was like really dumb. I also laughed at a lot of really stupid things.
One of my favorite moments of watching the movie was when Maui said something dumb and you laughed and then immediately said, I'm sorry.
Wasn't it specifically like, it was so dumb. It's the story of Nunya. Nunya business.
That was a pretty good joke.
I thought it was
like top
10%
of the jokes for the
Signe
movie.
Signe
being a little sister.
Yep.
Shines through.
What is that supposed to mean?
I think it's funny. It's like a dad joke.
Okay, Ben, your hot take.
Well, this isn't going to be my hottest take of the night. I'm going to go up on my soapbox a little later. but I think it was ultimately a disappointing film, similarly. And I think it didn't find its heart until the end of the film when Moana, like, is surrounded by the ghosts of her ancestors. Spoilers. Ghosts of her ancestors and, like, turns it around and, like, finds this powerful moment and finds strength in all those that cross the seas before her. And it seemed like the film finally knew what it was and what it wanted to be in that moment. Everything else besides that, it was a plethora of ideas thrown at a wall to see what stuck. And most of it ultimately didn't. And it also has the effect of making the first probably 3/4 of that film feeling like just disparate ideas that they try to mash together to create a whole that never feels cohesive. And it was weird, like, in that intro section, thinking back to moments in Mulan or when Belle is singing in Beauty and the Beast, and it does a good job of showing the town and the city and everything about that, and all centered around that main character as well. And just in this one, just how it was cut or something like that, it never had that, like, here's my town moment in the way that it does in Beauty and the Beast and Mulan.
Also, there were a lot of non sequiturs in the very beginning
of the movie that were so weird. Yeah.
Very poorly
cut. After the opening number, there were like 4 scenes in a row that had nothing to do with each other and were all about 30 seconds long and just like started and ended. And it just took me a little bit to find my footing at the beginning.
Yeah, there wasn't even any background music tying them together.
Yeah.
It was just like very weird 4 15-second cutscenes.
Yeah.
I don't know.
So yeah, those are my thoughts.
I guess for me, I'm not going to be able to say anything new that hasn't already been said, But the one thing that just bothered me a lot, and it's not a very, like, deep or insightful thing, it's just that I really couldn't buy The Rock as the voice of Maui.
I feel like this was your one thing where it's like,
killed the movie for
you. I spent a good portion of the movie trying to figure out what it was that wasn't working for me.
Yeah.
And I think it was the fact that I remember reading online that the body that they gave to Maui is very different than the way he is portrayed in, like, traditional Polynesian culture. Mm-hmm. And my thought is that if they were going to make him deviate from what he is traditionally supposed to look like, they should have made him look more like The Rock and made him bald and made him more, like, proportionally, like, really focused on, like, how big and wide he is up top, and made him, like, smaller down below, like, given him that height a little more, like something like that. Yeah, like a true triangle, like The Rock.
An upside down triangle.
Like our good friend DRJ is.
Yeah.
So I think that kind of bothered me, because I was like, I don't understand why you made these changes, and you have a cartoonish character voicing him. Why not pull directly from that character? So I think, I don't know, I think that was what it was.
Yeah, Maui was an interesting character. Like, I was a little, I'll be honest, again, spoiler alert for the end, I was a little bummed. I knew he would come back, but I was a little bummed that it had to be, like, him that finally, like, Moana's in trouble, and then it's, like, him that swoops in and, like, saves it.
Yeah, we were all waiting. I think, I speak for all of us here when I say that I think we were all hoping that that wasn't going to be the case, and then it was.
Yeah, and of course it was going to be. And there's just, like, when Moana was just kicking ass on the boat, I was like, yes, Moana, fuck it up. Fuck it up, Moana. And it's like, ah, this is so great. And then, naturally, Maui swoops in and, like, saves the day in a weird way.
Mm-hmm.
And,
but not and completely. That's a, like, he lost, ultimately.
Yeah, but there was still,
Moana,
like,
Moana had the big finale.
Yeah, without a doubt.
Yeah.
But it's,
but
like,
do you think she would have succeeded without him?
Yeah, it's like
coming
the
in to,
yeah.
Yeah.
I she made it further up the mountain because of him, but, like,
okay, but at the end, but also, the mouse. But also, I think it didn't have to be Maui. Like, they could have brought her grandmother back in or something. Like,
the turtle?
The turtle could have come back from the
beginning.
Which
would have been a great connection to the beginning.
All of those would have been better, I think, than Maui coming back. And they still could have had resolution with Maui. Like, I'm not saying he had to, like,
like, he still needs that, like, hey, Mother Earth, I kind of messed up big time.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I think they had plenty of other characters to choose from that could have been that help that she needed. Even the chicken, like, Hei Hei could have done it.
He
did have a moment.
Ugh.
Yeah. Okay.
One of my least favorite characters.
I was about to say I liked Hei Hei.
It was just like, it's the same joke with that chicken over and over and again.
It was a good joke.
Well, the payoff was he eats the rock at the end. Like, he learned how to eat things.
That was his he did his art the rock
character resolution.
Yeah.
Hey, catches something.
He caught it. Yeah.
It was like, how many times do you have to move this chicken's head to actually eat something?
Uh-huh.
It wasn't funny the first time. It's not going to be funny the fifth time.
It was all built up for that big climactic moment at the end when he catches the rock, though. Because he learned how to catch things in his mouth.
All right, Andre, what's your hot take?
My take...
doesn't need to be hot. It could be lukewarm.
What's your lukewarm take?
Well, it took me a while, like I mentioned earlier, to, like, get my footing and, like, figure out the pacing of the movie and how you're supposed to watch it. And there are a lot of musical numbers at the beginning that I was really into, and I heard Lin-Manuel Miranda's voice, which was, like, what, not just, like, his literal voice, but, like, his voice in all the musical numbers, and that got me really excited about it, and that's one of the reasons I was excited to watch the movie. And then they just stopped, it just stopped being a musical, like, half an hour in. And it got to the long, like, crossing the ocean bit that I didn't really like. But yeah, I liked the beginning a lot. I liked the music at the beginning. I thought the end was good, but the crossing the ocean in the middle, I could have done without.
Even though that's, like, you know, the bulk of the film.
That's not, like, the heart of the film, though. That's the bulk of the length of the film.
You can build a better, like, journey and odyssey story that, yeah, like, doesn't include all these weird moments, like, being attacked by pirates. Like, there's a quicker
way.
Shy
guys.
Yeah. Yeah. There's back nothing to the pirates, but sorry.
That added nothing to the movie. Like, that scene began with them having the rock and ended with them having the rock, and there was no, yeah, like, nothing happened because of that. Oh, okay. That's what it was. There was a sleep dart. And they were able to put the rock to sleep so that he couldn't guide the boat.
Could
so
Moana teach had to learn. More. Yeah.
Oh, she learned how to sail.
Yeah. That was the whole point of the thing.
They spent a lot of time just to get to that one point.
I guess.
I feel like they thought the Shy Guys would be this. All right. I feel like every large studio at this point, when they set out to create an animated film, they were like, all right, what's our Minions equivalent?
What's the thing? Do you think that's what they were?
What are the toys?
What are the Happy Meal toys we can make out of this?
Yeah,
stacking up on top of each other and like popping around.
What is our?
They didn't speak in English.
Yep.
Yeah.
They had like little sounds.
They're kind of cute. They reference that they're cute in the film.
I would say they were more than kind of
pretty cute.
They were pretty cute.
Yeah. Can we roll this off into like a small mini series or something like that?
Do you think they're gonna have a Shy Guy mini series?
No, because that was the worst part of the film.
I would not be surprised if they were Happy Meal toys, though. If there is,
I could see it.
Like
yeah, possibly.
Just some weird things.
Weird things in this film. I think we took it down. We beat up Moana quite a bit. Is it worth talking about parts we liked?
That sounds a little
harsh. Well, no, we're saving your soapbox for later.
Yes, we are saving my soapbox. And my soapbox isn't with Moana itself. It's about animation at large.
Oh, that's fair. Okay.
In art direction. So, let's talk. Yeah, I think that's a great idea, though, Lena. Let's talk about what we loved about it, what it did well, what it was impressive about it. Anyone feel free to.
I thought it was colorful.
Yeah.
I thought it was a pretty.
It's a bright movie.
Yeah, it was a pretty looking movie.
It has its moments that are just like astounding. Like, yes, we recognize that you have technology, and you probably had a million computers working on this just to render this frame out. But very impressive. Like that moment at the end when Moana starts to sing, and the waters part for her, and it's like slow motion.
Yeah,
like that's an incredibly powerful and arresting moment that. Like, is where the film starts to find its heart. So I agree. It's, like, beautiful and bright and colorful.
I have to say, I think it would make a great ride at Disneyland.
Mm. Yeah.
You could set it up like a boat.
That sounds like a fun game.
Like a water ride?
With a big waterfall and you fall. Yes. Ooh, that'd be fun.
And it would have all the cute flowers singing.
Do you think they have...
Pseudo Splash Mountain. Like, what if they updated Splash Mountain?
They'll never get rid
Splash
of
Splash Mountain.
I wouldn't mind, though. Like, Splash Mountain is this weird... Like, weird relic from older times.
Yeah, it's got, like, bears and logs, and it's
not tied to a franchise.
No.
No, there's a specific animation that it comes from.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The Briar Rabbit and all that.
Have the technology to part the water the way they do in Moana?
Like, actual water?
At Splash Mountain.
A funny plastic thing.
Real water parted. Like, you're in your log... Or which is now actually they would have to retrofit all the logs to look like canoes because she calls it a canoe.
Yeah.
So it'd be a canoe, and you'd be going, and it'd be dark, but then it would start to light up, and the water would be lit from underneath.
Yeah.
And it would start to part.
Wow. And like you can look down.
And then all of a sudden
you
would go crashing down.
What if it was like coming from above and they.
I could just see, like two things.
Oh, I see. The water comes from the ceiling or something.
You'd be like a sheet on either side of you coming
down. That's a good idea. That's a great idea.
Yeah. With really nice lighting. And yeah, I could get into that.
Instead of the Zippity Doodah, they're playing the Moana song.
They're playing na 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 na.
And then you splash.
Do you think, so places in Moana that they would recreate in the ride, do you think that they would take you to the monster cave?
For sure. Yes. That little shiny guy?
Yeah, the shiny guy.
Yeah.
Okay.
Totally. He'd be the villain instead of the, whatever, the bear.
Yeah, I don't think they'd have the fire monster.
They could. That would be kind of cool if you went through the fire monster's mouth.
Oh, scary.
But then on the other side,
it's all like completely verdant and like... beautiful yeah. flowers everything yeah. everywhere.
And you see, I forget her name, but she's and, like lying yeah. down.
Tahifi. It's with an F though, isn't it?
Tahifi. Oh god, I think completely screwing it up. I'm so yeah. sorry, Moana.
I know, I couldn't. You've disgraced Moana you. And Maui they are the two names I picked up from that movie.
They only say her name a couple
times. And I knew Maui before. Yeah.
That's fine if we wouldn't pick it up immediately.
Yeah, I think they should take you through. There should definitely, like, that'd be great, actually, if you go through her mouth as a fire monster.
Tahifi.
And then when you come around the bend, it's, like, all green, and she's there, and...
It's, like, flowery.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So,
yeah.
Maybe they give you something green that you can, like, throw when you
that's kind of cool, like the interaction.
Yeah. Wow, that would be great.
They don't right?
Yeah. That would always go wrong, I feel, but like that would be really
sick. What is this? You're giving thing. The writers too much power.
They always say keep your arms
I worry about
inside
that all the
car.
Time.
They do.
Yeah.
They make a big point about keeping them
yeah.
in. Mm.
Yeah, they do.
Also, this there's like stories
oh, no,
out
no, no.
there.
Guys, I have an idea. Okay. They install a light on the front of the canoe that you don't notice until you're going through the mouth of the fire monster, and then it just like shines green. And so that lets you know that you've put the
oh, you
stone.
Put the heart back.
You yeah. put the heart back. Oh, so when you come back around the bend, it's already green.
Yeah.
I like it.
And you can like do it with screens, so it's more of like you don't have to go to another room, it just all happens around you.
Yeah.
Because I also want like in the canoe you're on for like flowers to appear like as nice. You go through wow. there.
I want so, this to be real.
How about you yeah, say really good, when you get it? In the canoe, you also put a HoloLens on?
They have, you joke, but they have like roller coasters where you put on
you
the Samsung
the
gear and.
Do you think the HoloLens is waterproof?
No.
No, I doubt it.
No, and the really HoloLens is different from the Samsung gear because it's AR. So
yeah,
you're still
yeah.
seeing everything,
yeah.
but it would just be
but,
putting flowers
in. Yeah, you're seeing everything in like an index card in front of you.
Yeah.
The HoloLens technology isn't
why
there
would
yet
you even go on a
that's
roller coaster
see,
if you're wearing VR headset? Like, what
no.
is the point? Wait.
Your body is moving around, but you're seeing cooler things.
Guys.
They don't have to spend money on
okay.
develop. Okay.
This reminded me of the time that the three of us went on X2 at Magic Mountain,
so,
and there was fire.
Yeah. Yes. Oh, there was real
was,
fire.
There was real fire.
When
terrifying.
Was
this
what
was
year?
Spring break,
freshman
year.
Year.
Okay. It would have been 2010.
Okay. So this was after I went. Because I think it was still X2.
You feel the heat of
it was
the fire. Like
yeah.
It
yeah, we did not know what we were signing up for.
But it depends where you were in that roller coaster, because like the people
I felt
the
heat.
The
they
the
were only, they were like,
they were
four person. Pots.
Yeah, they changed
oh, really?
The trains.
So you felt the heat.
Oh,
they were
okay.
really small.
I remember it being like...
Everyone feels the heat.
It was scary.
It was
yeah.
quite an experience.
I remember we had a good friend who was from Montana, and she was in the row behind us, and she wasn't like screaming, but she just kept saying things like, oh my! And,
like, that sounds real good.
Wow!
Yeah.
Wow! It was just really great. So I'm just imagining someone on X2. Like X2 is already, they called it like a
extreme.
Fourth dimensional coaster. Because like they had like.
Feel the heat.
Yeah. Because like they had the fire. They had the seats that turn you. They had the vertical drop. They had all that. So I cannot possibly imagine them being like, also, you need to put a phone on your face.
Yeah.
And it'll make it better somehow.
I think they would only do that on rides where they don't develop cool things going on in the ride. That's
yeah.
just, it's a boring roller coaster and they don't want to build a cool experience, so they do it in CG.
Enter the fifth dimension for a new way to fly.
Oh my God.
This is a fifth dimensional ride.
X2 feels
that's impressive.
Wait, is that X2?
What's
that's
the fourth
X2.
Dimension?
Yeah, wait, what's the fourth dimension?
Fourth dimension is time. I have no idea what the, well, alright, technically the fifth dimension is then like space
what?
Or something. I watched a YouTube video once.
Yeah.
Thrill level max.
Agreed.
This ride goes upside down. Oh, there's even
this
a video
here. This makes
it
sound so cool that we went on this.
Google Maps
it was
version
cool
of this.
We went on this.
Well, that one was cool. I'll tell you what wasn't cool. We won't get into that. another time. We're talking about Moana.
Is there anything left to say about the movie?
I have a question about Disney movies in general.
Okay. Go for it.
So we had a little mini discussion about whether or not Moana is a Disney princess.
Yes.
And I would like to know what exactly the definition of a Disney princess is and whether or not she fits.
And also a little setup for this. There's a moment earlier in the film where Maui talks, like, calls Moana a princess, and then later in the film specifically pulls that name back and no longer calls her a princess, and, like, it's a very heartwarming moment between them.
Because she objected when he said that. She was like, no, that's not me.
So, like, what, I think, Signe, to your point, like, what is a Disney princess, and, like, how does it develop from here on out when the idea of a princess typically in folklore doesn't have the power that a prince, king, or queen does have?
Oh, yeah.
Open floor.
Oh, open floor. Okay, so I was going to say, to me, in old school Disney, the princess is the damsel in distress. Mm-hmm. And they've tried to release a lot of movies more recently where that's not the case. Like, Frozen comes to mind, where she's still actually a princess, like, has a crown, but is capable and does things on her own. And so, to me, Moana could have... I think she is, in a way, a Disney princess, because she still is a type of royalty, and so that makes her a princess to me, but I think Disney's trying to redefine what their Disney princess is. And so I think it was almost some, like, crowd service there to be like, no, I'm not a Disney princess. Like, it was very, like, self-referencing. Like, I know what Disney princesses are, and I'm not one of those because I can do this adventure on my own, and I'm capable. And so that's what it felt like to me. Like, it was kind of self-referencing in that way.
Like, another reason why I thought through this was, I think when Mulan was finally added as a Disney princess, they presented her not in her armor, but in a prettified version of what she looked like in the film. And, like, and it's okay to, like, be beautiful and powerful, but it seemed to disrespect what she was doing in the film Mulan as itself, like, on its own. And so I like the idea of Disney trying to, like, take it back and, like, yeah, typically princesses aren't viewed as heroic characters, and, like, this is their attempt to turn that around and switch it. But it is interesting for this film specifically to kind of go away from the term princess itself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, is it weird to then turn around and, like, have Moana inducted as a Disney princess?
I think until they have a better name for it, like, there's some, I don't know, it, like, characterizes a number of characters that Disney has.
Yeah.
Until they have a better way to group them.
I mean, she was the daughter of the leader
She's
of the...
She's a chiefess.
Yeah. Yeah, right. So I think they probably will. I think this is them, like, trying to...
She was eventually the chieftain.
Yeah.
Like, she would be the chieftain of that tribe.
I think this is them trying to work on that brand and, like, you know, change the meaning a little bit. Because right now it's kind of like a... I don't know. It has a negative connotation today. And I think they're trying to maintain Disney Princess as, like, aspirational in 2017.
I mean, in their recent movies, like, most of recent Disney movies have been stronger lead women, right?
Oh yeah, Frozen.
Brave, Frozen. Frozen still has, like,
What is the Toad one? The Frog one?
Princess and the Frog.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
I didn't see that one.
I didn't see it either.
A long time ago. I don't think it is, like, necessarily one of the ones you consider as, like, really good nowadays.
Yeah.
There's Lilo and Stitch as well. She's not a... I mean, there's no reference royalty to princess or royalty there, but still, she's a... It's a better lead.
Yeah.
They've been working on it, for sure.
I appreciate it.
And they've got, I mean...
It was just a very interesting moment, and I think a moment that was kind of nice in this film.
Yeah, this is, like, the first time they, like, blatantly addressed that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's why it
without
felt...
Without it feeling, like,
without it being
too
weird.
Yeah.
That's why it felt very self-referential. referential too, because Maui didn't need to say princess either, because they never use the word princess anywhere else in the film. Like, they refer to her father as the chief, and there isn't any mention of royalty or queens or anything like that. So yeah. The fact that he specifically used that word felt like something that parents or people our age and up would recognize, but not necessarily kids who are watching the film. They might think of princess as synonymous with the other terms used, but I think for people who are older, it meant more. Like, I think the rest of us who picked up on it, that was for us.
Mm-hmm. But yeah.
Abby, do you have any thoughts?
I like Ben said, or someone said earlier, I liked her, except then in the end, realistically, still, like, her man friend had to come back in and be a part of it.
Right.
Instead of just letting her, sort of. Because he was kind of, like, lame the whole time, so he shouldn't have been able to save the day. Because he kept leaving. And being, like, pouty. Yeah, and
true. He gets his moment to leave, which I guess you, like, should have been, like, all right, come on, dude, just... You shouldn't be completely, like, accepted all completely, like, once you get back, because you also went through that same process of deciding to leave. And yes, it's great that you came back in that moment, but hey, why did you leave in the first place if you didn't trust me and you didn't listen to me?
It's the Han Solo arc. Like, Han Solo, he leaves the rebels when they need him most. And then he comes back last minute and saves the day.
And maybe that's why in 2017 this doesn't ring as strong or as powerful or as interesting. Like, it... I don't know. Maui's a weird character.
Yeah, Maui's weird. I did not like Maui.
No, me either.
He's whiny and cocky.
Yeah.
Never funny.
That's
just, like, something with this entire film.
Yeah, Disney just likes to make annoying...
They should have replaced Maui with the pig.
They spent so much time on that pig, and there was not enough of this pig.
There was not enough. It was the cutest. Or the turtle.
And it was in, like, 17 seconds of the movie.
And pig had one of the...
And yet we're still talking about it.
The pig had so much character. Yeah. More than the chicken, of all people.
Yeah, I did like the pig more than the chicken.
I thought for sure they would develop that pig character. Yeah.
Pigs are more intelligent than chickens. I mean, that's just science.
It's just known facts.
Yeah. Is this a good moment for me to go get up on my
soapbox? Yeah, get on.
All right. So
do we need, like, some music or something? Like,
oh, Andre. Andre and Post put some, like, very interesting soapboxy music.
Dude, I didn't even need to wait till Post. I got that in free. Got it in one.
So Ben's soapbox. Stop trying to make animated films look like real life. Just stop with that CGI. Like, I'm not interested in how realistic you can make a rock in an animated film. Show me how good your art direction is and your color theory is, and show me how to make it interesting and explosive. If you limit yourself to what is surrounding you and the rocks you see on your day-to-day, like, why go animation on these roots? Like, or on this film, like, you can be so much more expressive and exciting in animated films. Don't limit yourself to just trying to show, hey, here's water or here's very realistic rocks. You can do so much more. And I think the films from Hayao Miyazaki show just how you can pull influence from the real world, but also ultimately show your ability as art directors and animators to kind of completely throw that away. I go back to a lot of the kind of what are typically the evil characters in those Hayao Miyazaki films, and those are things that don't necessarily have a basis in real life but are interesting and kind of create a sense of place and direction and a sense of who that company is and how they view themselves. And so I think just people making animated films think bigger than the world around you. You have the technology. Use the technology not to make a world that looks like ours. Use the technology to do something a little bigger and greater and grander. That's my soapbox. Like, it's impressive that you can turn out a real nice looking CGI rock. Don't get me wrong. There's a lot of technology behind that. But
yeah, just to back that up, I felt like this is a very small detail, but it was something that frustrated me, where it felt like they spent a lot of time trying to make the hair look realistic.
Yes.
But if you looked at the roots, it did not look realistic.
They gotta work on that root tech.
Yeah, and they're like trying so hard to get that realism.
They should have just made some stylized hair. That would have been better than trying to...
It goes a lot longer.
Yes,
yeah.
I'm 100% with you on your soapbox. I'm going to step up there with you.
I'll admit that sounded like a little harsher as I was going into it.
No, but like, I noticed...
Well, this is life or death or something.
Yeah. This has been new rules with Bill Maher.
And, I mean, Andre, do you... It sounded like you were really into the water tech, though. So.
I liked the water. I thought it was cool and had a life of its own.
Yeah, but, like, you can leave that water tech for, like... tech demos.
Yeah.
If you want to show out at how impressive your lighting and your fluid dynamics are,
yeah,
Moana is the place to do it, when you can be a lot more impressive with how you show that.
Yeah.
Like, the worlds that are created in 2D films of our youth, like in Lilo and Stitch and Beauty and the Beast and, like, all these films... There's an or Bambi, even, like, Bambi has just this incredible knowledge of color and how it uses it. And not to say Moana doesn't have those moments, but you can portray this in a 2D space. When you go to 3D, you shouldn't necessarily try and show realistic rocks.
Mm-hmm.
It feels like short-sighted to what you can actually do.
Yeah.
Yeah. So That's Ben's soapbox.
Outro music?
Yep. I feel like you need to do it backwards.
That's
good.
Yeah. That song's going to be stuck in my head for the next week.
Yep. It's a good song.
Yeah.
It's a great song.
We did listen to Alicia Keys here. I'm a little bummed. That was going to be my...
The night is young.
It is.
Yeah.
Well.
We could still go do that.
Yeah.
We could still go do that.
All right. Well, should we do our wrap-up?
Is that brief talk on Moana? Very brief talk. That was probably like 40 minutes.
It was exactly 40 minutes.
Yeah. All right. So that was our night on Moana. We are Munch. Abby and Signe, thank you so much for joining us this week.
It was a real treat to have you.
Yes. Thank you for having us.
If you guys want to throw out Twitter or Instagram handles, or if you want to stay anonymous, then we can
also
change these names and post too.
I would have to get a Twitter.
Okay.
Do you want to change these names and post?
No.
I don't think so.
You keep acting like you do things in post.
I do. I do all the editing.
We do want to give a special shout out to Andre Wyatt. Happy birthday.
Oh, thanks.
Yes, happy birthday, Andre.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is your chance. You guys, you have a stage. If you want to give any other shout out,
to celebrate you.
Thanks. Oh, so sweet.
Yeah.
So sweet.
And we're very open to call outs. And so if you two want to say anything in these final moments.
It's a lot of pressure.
You're about to go up on iTunes and Stitcher and...
no pressure. Google Play.
Google Play.
I don't know if you've ever been on the internet before.
But what is the internet?
Everyone
this is
gets
not
to
my
use...
exit debut, but...
Yeah, okay.
No, that's okay.
We can pretend.
This is your strong sequel, follow-up.
Yeah.
If you Google my name, there is a YouTube video that shows up.
Oh, God.
Ooh. So,
are you in it, too?
No, I'm not in this video.
I feel like we should do a live reactions YouTube video of this at some point. Just us,
is that still
Andre, Liana, and Ben reacting to this video, and then we'll just send it to you.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to it.
It's still available. It's in the vault.
Is it a good one?
What's your definition?
It's pretty good.
If you want to set us up for it real quick, or maybe where listeners could find it if you really want that.
Yeah, is this your, like...
I'm trying to leave the door open because I don't know what to expect from this.
You're like 10 seconds long.
It's pretty short.
Okay.
Very expressive. Uh-huh. A lot of things happen in a short time.
Oh, wow.
You get a good lens into what it's like to be 17 years old.
Oh,
and great. St. Mary's Academy.
And attend a single-sex school.
In Portland, Oregon.
Yes.
Yes. It's sounds not like hard really... to find. If
we'll find it.
It's hard to find it.
We'll find it.
All right, that's a little goose chase for our listeners.
Yeah. Thank you, Abby, for joining us. Signe, any...
I got nothing.
And that's all you need. All right.
You had your chance.
We are Munch. You can find us on Twitter, at Get Munched Up, Instagram, Get Munched Up, Facebook, it's Get Munched Up, or Munch Blogger, or something along those lines, Pinterest, we are Get Munched Up. You can send us an email at getmunchedup@gmail.com. You can find our content and ultimately the photos from our food that we talked about earlier, which is at, it's hard to say, but I'm going to say at, but it's just getmunchedup.com. And finally, if you could like, comment, and subscribe, incredibly helpful. And those subscriptions and likes ultimately go to helping us out, and anything you can do for that. I mean, it shouldn't take too much of your time. Anything.
Yeah, just leave us a star rating. That would be helpful.
Even that's great. Anything.
Just some stars.
Incredibly helpful. And with that, I keep saying good day, but I feel like I need a better sign off.
Na 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 na.
What about like a, this has been signing out.
It seems a little too on the nose.
We're coming at you with a silver bullet.
What? And we're Munch, coming at you with a silver bullet.
Good day.